Today we celebrate St. Rita of Kasha, a well-known and well-loved saint. And this saint was truly a remarkable figure in the history of the church and in the history of the saints. Let's look at her briefly today. She was born in Umbria in Italy in 1381. From an early age, she wanted to become a nun, a religious, to dedicate her life entirely to God, but her parents had other plans for her. They wanted her to marry, and so she did. She obeyed her parents' insistence, and she married at a young age. But her husband, however, turned out to be cruel and harsh, and the marriage was, at least humanly, very unhappy. St. Rita's only consolation during these years was God and his sorrowful passion, uniting herself to his sufferings. After 18 years of such a marriage, her husband, who was a quarrelsome fellow, was himself killed in a brawl. And Rita had two sons who wished to revenge their father's murder. So St. Rita, a pious woman, a holy mother, was fearing that her sons would lose their souls, would have revenge, would kill the killers of their father, and she was afraid of having them lose their souls for committing this sin. She tried to persuade them not to seek revenge, but to no avail. It appears that an uncle of theirs was actually egging them on and inciting them in their hatred. So St. Rita accordingly did what? She actually prayed to God to take her sons rather than to see them commit the mortal sin of murder. And what happened? And God appears to have heard that prayer of this mother, this holy mother, and a year later the sons did both die of dysentery, reconciled to God, repentant of their hatred. Free from all family, earthly family ties, St. Rita in 1413 entered the Augustinian nuns of the nearby town of Kasha. And then she became famous for her austerity, devotion, prayer, charity, and for her patience in the midst of long-lasting illnesses. She received visions from heaven and even a wound on her forehead which resembled the crown of thorns which she bore until her death, which occurred on May 22, 1457. And instantly after her death, many miracles were reported, although her canonization took place only later, much later on May 24th, 1900. She was canonized by Pope Leo XIII. Now let's have a spiritual reflection on the life of St. Rita. We said before that a prominent feature of her life was the fact that she prayed, she begged God to take her sons rather than to see them commit a single mortal sin. Note here that she didn't pray simply for the death of her children, that would be rather cruel, but she prayed to God to take her sons if keeping their lives on earth, they would offend God by mortal sin and lose their souls. She preferred to see them lose their lives rather than to offend God and lose their souls for all eternity. And to understand why St. Rita was able to pray like this, we have to understand what she understood about sin and what all the saints understood about sin, and that is that sin is the greatest of all evils. The Baltimore Catechism reminds us precisely of this. It says that sin is the greatest of evils because its effects last the longest and have the most terrible consequences. All the misfortunes of this world can last only for a time, and we escape them at death, whereas the evils caused by sin keep with us for all eternity and are only increased at death. And every time we turn to God asking for forgiveness, every time we go to confession, we have to detest sin precisely in this way as the greatest of all evils. And this is part of true contrition. True contrition, in fact, has four elements. Let's look at these two briefly today. Let's have a little catechetical reflection. True contrition for sin, whenever we come to confession, our contrition to be true has to have four characteristics. It has to be interior, supernatural, universal, and supreme. Interior meaning what? And here we're looking at the Baltimore Catechism still. Our contrition has to be interior, meaning it has to come from the heart, not just from the lips. It has to be an act of the mind and of the will, not sentiments, but purpose of amendment. It has to be supernatural, that is motivated by reasons revealed by God. fear of, at the very, very least, fear of the loss of heaven, fear of hell or purgatory, the dread of the afflictions that come from God in punishment for sin, especially if we want to have perfect contrition, the sorrow for having offended a God who loves us, especially God's love for us. Merely natural motives are not enough. For example, embarrassment, shame that sin causes us, these aren't enough to be forgiven. Other temporal consequences, if you commit a sin and then have legal consequences, legal implications, financial consequences, these aren't enough. Contrition based on these reasons for remorse alone is not enough. We have to have supernatural motives of contrition. Contrition has to be universal. That means we have to be sorry for every single mortal sin which we may have had the misfortune to commit. And it has to be supreme. And we go back to what we said in the beginning. Supreme contrition means that we hate sin above every other evil and are willing to endure any suffering rather than offend God in the future by sin. Why? Because all the misfortunes of this life can last only a time and we escape them at death, whereas the evils caused by sin keep with us for all eternity and are increased rather than decreased by death. One mortal sin, one stupid mortal sin, is enough to separate a soul from God for all eternity. No matter how holy you are, if God forbid you fall into mortal sin, that's enough to separate a soul from God for all eternity if you die unrepentant in that sin. One venial sin is enough, one single venial sin is enough to make us love God less for all eternity, to decrease our degree of glory in God for all eternity, to give God less glory for all eternity, to make God less loved for all eternity. There is therefore no greater evil than sin, and we have to be convinced of that. That's why we should detest it above every other evil, praying Saint Rita to give us this grace and to repeat with her and with all the saints, to repeat this slogan which made the saints saints, death rather than sin, death rather than to offend our good God. Praised be Jesus and Mary.